Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, I'm Grace Hayden, and welcome to Game On with Grace. Today, we have a really fun episode in store for you. Our guest is Archie Wilson. Now, he went viral. He's known as the Nebraskan punter. He's a Melburnian, but he's really iconic for his most vulnerable moment in a press conference. We're going to talk all about it, but also get to know him a little bit better and his journey in America so far. I think you guys are going to really love this chat. So let's get into it. Game on. Archie Wilson, welcome to Game On with Grace. I'm so stoked to have you on, my friend. You've just taken off. You've been taking on the world on the biggest stage over in America, but everyone heard about you. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but welcome. So excited to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get into our first segment. It's Game On Icebreakers. It's a chance for me to ask you a couple of quirky questions and get to know you a little bit better. We know that athletes, they are competitive people, and sometimes we take it that little bit too far off the field as well. So, are you ready? Here's a couple of questions.
Yep.
Right. Question one. Give me a time that you've gone way too far trying to like win something that didn't actually really matter. It wasn't really a competition, but you've tried a little bit too hard there.
I would say I was playing hide and seek one time and hid for about 4 hours.
4 hours? Oh, what? Where were you? This is the best hiding spot of all time.
Well, I've done it a couple times, but it was probably, we had like about around the block where I lived and I just kept hiding. I kept on the move and then no one saw me and I just kind of got to the point where it was like, there's no point giving up now. So I just kept going and entertained myself for a long time. And
were mum and dad ready to call the police and say, we don't know where Archie is?
I'm sure they'd probably forgotten about me, but that's all right. I had fun.
Well, that's the main thing. I love it. All right. Who's the most competitive person in your family?
Me. It's not even close. I'll get competitive over pointless stuff. So my parents will get, they'll get annoyed at me because I got two younger brothers. So I naturally normally beat them at most things anyway. So sometimes I might take it to the next level, but yeah, I'm definitely the competitive one out of the three.
Oh, did you take after one of your parents? Is mum or dad competitive as well? Or were you just the rogue competitive one?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure that, they're pretty competitive, but I don't know. I don't really know where it comes from. I've just always enjoyed winning things and not losing things. So I've calmed down a bit as of lately, but growing up, it used to be if it was the end of the world if I didn't get my way.
All right, it's time for a word from our sponsors. We'll be back very soon. Right, we're going to get into the nitty gritty. Human Behind the Hype is our next segment. It's where our audience gets to know you a little bit better off the field, behind the helmet.
Yeah, I love it a lot. Yeah, I've got two little brothers and my mum and dad and I. Yeah, that's the tough part about being here. I love them a lot and I miss them. But it's, I mean, they know this is what's best for me and it's good. I can still talk to them plenty over the phone and they're coming here to see the first few games. So I'm looking forward to that. Cool. Thanks, guys. Great meeting you all.
You had a viral moment recently. You were absolutely everywhere, all around the news. You were in a press conference. It was the day before your 19th birthday. You were around 15,000 kilometres away from home. And you had that moment of vulnerability and you touched so many people's hearts all around the world. But I want to know about that moment specifically first. What was running through your mind? Can you relive it for us for just a second?
Well, when I first got asked it, I kind of like started to answer. And then I hadn't really been like homesick at all or missed him at all since I got here. And then it just kind of ran through my mind and I was like, oh, yeah, hang on. And then like it got me for like 10 seconds. And then as soon as like that 10 seconds was over, they kind of like ended the press conference. And at first I was like a little bit annoyed because it was my first one and I wanted to keep going and answer questions. And then I got out of there and I was just kind of like, oh, like, what have you done? That was a bit awkward. And then I went and did about another hour of like interviews and stuff and then checked my phone probably an hour after that happened. And the first thing I was on my Instagram was like Nebraska punter Archie Wilson gets him. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I just saw it everywhere and then had like news things contacting me. And I was just like, this is... First, I was confused what's even interesting. It's just like, I feel like a lot of people would have had that a moment like that just happened that I decided to have that in front of the cameras, which probably wasn't the smartest decision. But I've been laughing about it since.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think it's so nice you had that like moment of vulnerability because at the end of the day, it is hard when you are away from family, from friends, from, you know, normality, and especially Australia, like we're so far away from the entire world. And then you throw in like a cultural dynamic shift too. And I guess it's kind of one of those questions media are really smart in asking, the ones that hit home to you because they're trying to like get that moment out of you. But did you expect it to go that viral? Like when you finished it and you went, oh God, what have I done? Did you expect it to take off in the way that it did?
Not at all. I was expecting like, oh, they'd cut the interview early, so I'll probably just not got ignored, but I didn't think that there was any story there. I just kind of thought it was like, oh, well, that didn't even get to hear the answer to my question. He just kind of started crying like a weirdo. And then I check my phone and I see all these like positive like things. It's like, oh, okay. And no, like I would not have expected anything to come out of it. And like now I can't leave my dorm without people asking for a photo or like knowing me. It's quite funny. Normally the punter's kind of a nobody. And it's quite funny. Like being one of the better known, but being quite a known person now, like just because of that.
And it's celebrity.
I mean, ideally soon my wife can be what creates fans. Yeah, like I got students asking me for photos. I was walking through campus the other day. I was like, sure. It's just, it's quite, because people obviously like don't know me too well. So me being me thinks it's funny that there's actually people that are like interested to like meet me and like get a photo of me. Like it's cool. Whereas I'm still excited to take photos of people half the time.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, that's so funny. I bet it's helped with different friendships and getting into and in amongst the uni community. You've just been able to make friends everyone because everyone knows who you are before you even introduced yourself.
Yeah, it's almost tricky sometimes though because there's the amount of people that now like walk past me and just be like, oh, hey, Archie. And I'm like, am I meant to know you or are you just another random person who's like, well, not, yeah, it's tricky. And then yeah, but I've had people like follow me to class and like leave notes at my door where I live. Like it's, yeah, like some of the stuff actually sounds like kind of creepy, but it's quite funny. Like I half of me is like, okay, I'd like to walk somewhere where, you know, I don't get recognized. And half of me is like, yep, I think it's, and half of me is kind of like, yeah, this is pretty funny. This is kind of cool.
Well, I mean, if you're going to make it into the NFL, you got to get used to this. You're going to be the next big thing.
Bit early for that, but we'll do our best.
Who was the coolest DM you got? I'm pretty sure you would have got some pretty sick sports stars. I mean, even Adam Gilchrist, I saw re-shared your little moment of vulnerability, but I'm sure you would have got some pretty cool DMs from some special people.
Yeah, there was A couple. I saw this one wasn't a DM, but I saw Chris Hemsworth had a comment on something. That one was pretty cool. But
no way.
Yeah. I think it just said like legend or something, but I thought that one was hilarious. But Minwoo Lee, that was he was like, if I'm ever near a tournament he's at, let him know. And I was like, that one's cool. I had a conversation with Mason Cox. There was a lot of quite relevant people that I actually like still haven't responded to, and I feel really awkward because I had so many messages, and it was like I couldn't get to, it was unfathomable the amount of messages I had, and I couldn't get around to all of them. And then it got to like 4 days later, and it was like, oh, I can't respond now because then it makes me seem even worse.
Oh no, so you've ghosted some people.
Yeah, and I've had a couple people like message me and be like, oh, haven't you gone Hollywood now? It's like, no, I promise you, I haven't like actually been able to, like, it was so many and I haven't responded to so many since, and I actually feel horrible because I'm normally someone who's like, all right, I'll respond straight away. Like there's no point not talking to someone. And now it's like, I feel awkward to respond to people now because it's been so long.
I think they'll understand.
Maybe. It's been a month, so.
Yeah, righto. Well, I think we got to know how this journey started for you in American football. Obviously, it's not a big sport here in Australia. There's different pathways to get over there. But when did you decide, I want to take this on?
Yeah, I would have been thinking about it like in the back of my mind for maybe since like the start of year 11 in 2023. And then kind of practiced it a little bit more, and then eventually like applied to ProKick, which is like the training organization which sends pretty much all of us across, and then kind of got a trial there and then had pretty good feedback like straight away. And then I was kind of all in from that point. I was like, well, I know I'm going to get over here now. And it was kind of like, well, I may as well. I just kind of decided straight away, this is what I'm doing. I mean, like college football, it's so cool. So just to think about having a realistic chance to be playing in it, because obviously like playing footy growing up, you kind of know how to kick a ball. So, and then as soon as kind of started getting involved in a couple of practices with that, it was like I'm literally going there and kicking a ball. Like it doesn't get much like pure simple fun. And then trained there for a while across 2024, and then when I finished high school, and then not long after that, I got told that I was coming here to Nebraska, and I was like, cool. And then, yeah, it went pretty quick, but I'm glad to be over here. Yeah, I didn't have the longest journey trying to get over here. It actually was probably a lot easier than some people have had to go through, but I'm glad.
But that's probably cool for people to know too, like youngsters back home here that, you know, are interested in coming over and doing what you're doing and having the opportunities that you've got. Because there's so many people that love AFL, especially you being a Victorian, like it's in your blood, I would say. Me being a Queenslander, yeah, not so much. We're more at the NRL kind of people. But AFL is sort of a way of life in Victoria, and I guess, did you ever want to live the AFL dream, or was it, nope, American football is the thing?
I mean, early stages before I'd really thought about punting, AFL was obviously the kind of main goal, but I mean, I was always really good at footy, but I was never like, as soon as I reached like maybe under 16s, I was within a shot. And then under 17s, I kind of like, I was always here, but never here. And I was kind of like, I'm probably not going to play AFL, but I could kick it further than nearly everyone else here. So, and then, I mean, I have a lot more fun punting now because it's, I mean, one, it's pretty physically easy. Like it's not, there's not the same amount of running around playing backline for five kicks a game. Sometimes I get my five kicks a game and I just stand there the whole time. So, I don't know. It was always on the cards, but yeah, college football's just, it's actually unfathomable. Like the environments that I've played in already, and it's a whole different world. So, yeah, it was as soon as I found out this was realistic, I kind of threw everything at college football and kind of just finished up my footy career in high school and then decided I was doing this.
Talk to me about game one, 29th of August. It was at Arrowhead, right? Arrowhead Stadium?
Yes, Arrowhead, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs Stadium.
Chiefs Stadium, you had some pretty special people in the crowd, but I want to know about the atmosphere first. Like, obviously, the pinnacle of sport here would be an AFL Grand Final at the G or a Boxing Day test, I would say, being a cricket fan, at the G as well. But yeah. How does it compare to anything you've experienced before, looking around and going, what is my life right now?
I mean, obviously, the Grand Final, the MCG, is insane. But the sheer volume that was in that stadium was ridiculous. Like, I think if you actually look it up, like, loudest stadium in the world, Arrowhead has reached the loudest, like, volume, something the way it's designed that echoes. But you're on the sidelines and you can't even hear the person next to you. It was crazy. And we pull in the buses, I think, 2.5 hours before the game starts. And that the car park there is so ridiculously big, it's not funny. It was just filled with tailgates and people cooking food and hanging out like hours and hours before the game starts. And then you go in there, start warming up, and it's like 50, 60% full, and it's still ridiculously loud. And then we go into the locker room 25 minutes before the game starts. And then when you come back out and every single seat is full, and it was turning to nighttime, and it's the way that the fans here sort of do every tradition, and they really get involved. They're not like, no one just sits there and watches a game. They're going crazy the whole time, like whether it's a chant or a song that comes on or any form of dance. Like there was one stage where they had the wave going around the stadium, and then they played the YMCA, and I'm on the sidelines and I look up and literally every single person in the stadium is doing it in sync. And I'm like, now firstly, this is extremely random, but secondly, like it was really cool. And then when I go out there, like you onto the field, it's weird, you don't even really notice the crowd at all. Like, you know that they're there, but because there's so many of them, it's almost like less sort of intimidation than a smaller, intimate environment, because the sheer number of people, it's almost like they're not even there. It's so loud, it's a blur. It was ridiculously loud. And then the last play of the game was one of the most impressive things I've seen. One of our teammates, Malcolm, got an interception basically to win the game. And that was up there with the loudest moments I've ever heard before.
You explaining this to me, I can picture it without like ever experiencing anything like that. I mean, I get to see IPL games, which are ridiculously loud, pure passion, just everyone loving every second. But I can't even imagine what a college football game would sound like. Like the amount of capacity of people.
And the thing is that we don't get to see half the cool stuff. Like every game, there's planes doing a flyover during the national anthem, and it's like it's the full ordeal every game. And our fans have sold out every single home game since 1962. So so on the weekend we played a school which is not quite a high profile school. Each year we play a sort of a lower division school that gets a game against a big school. And it was an 11 o'clock in the morning game, which was never really going to be close. And they still sold it out, 86,500 people there for an 11 o'clock game that was never going to be, what was it? That was probably the smallest game that we'll have for the year. And it's still sold out. It's unfathomable, the pure passion that they have.
And yeah, love for the game. That's wild. Wild. Do they love the fact you're an Aussie?
Yeah, some people do. I mean, a lot of my teammates kind of make fun of me for it. Whenever they're having an argument, they're like, oh, well, you're Australian. It's like, I mean, what the heck's that even mean? But most of my teammates actually try to use it against me because, you know, we'll be walking around and we'll walk past a group of people and they'll be like, hey, do you want to meet my friend Archie? And he's from Australia. And I'm just like, why does that matter? I don't want to meet these people. Like they do stuff like that to annoy me with the whole Australia thing. But the only one that, the accent is what kind of, gets people to notice it as well. Like I got into an Uber like 2 nights ago that my friend booked. So it was under a different name. And I got in the back, he didn't see me or anything like that. And within two words, he, from the voice, knew who I was and wanted a photo with me just off the accent. So it's,
that's insane. Yeah.
The Australian thing helps out, but the accent, like as soon as people hear that, then they want to know more. And that's the part that's quite funny.
I mean, we're pretty cool people, I must say.
I would say so. Yeah.
Going back to that first game though, was it special to have mum, dad and a few mates fly out and be there in the crowd watching?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I didn't like expect my mates to be there. I knew that my family were coming, but I mean, regardless of whether or not I was playing, they thought it was awesome to just be in the be at the game at all and just see it. So, I mean, it was my first real proper game to be a part of too. So it was quite interesting that we all got to experience the first game together. It just happened that I also had a bit more responsibility during it, but yeah, it's a lot of fun and it was cool to have.
And you had a pretty good moment back in that first game too. You took that critical punt 2 minutes of the last quarter, the second quarter. That's sick. And then to see that, and did the crowd go nuts?
I don't know. I didn't really pay much attention to the crowd as I was going out there to hear what they say, because I didn't like really, like I knew the situation of the game, but I was just kind of looking at like, okay, this is where I'm kicking it from. That's where I have to kick it to. So I didn't really like, it was only till after the game where I watched the kick on like the TV, like recording, and realized how actually important that one was. We're up by three with like 2 minutes to go. I didn't realize that if I stuffed that up, the game could have actually gone a slightly different direction, but
gone the other way.
Yeah. I mean, I trust our defense to win that no matter what I do, but yeah, it was an okay game. I had a couple good moments, but I was happy that it was enough to, you know, get our team the win, of course.
Yeah, and not a bad place to debut. I mean,
no, definitely home ground. Not.
Have Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, all the guns in the building. Did you know or did you find out after?
No, I saw, well, I was warming up and Patrick Mahomes was just on the sidelines. It was pretty clear that he was there. And then probably the second quarter, they showed Taylor Swift up on like the big screen, and it was kind of like the crowd just went completely nuts, for like started going completely like wild. And I was like, what's even going on? The game wasn't during a play. And then I look up and it's Taylor Swift on the screen. And I was like, okay, that makes some sense now. So, I mean, part of me is like, oh, who cares? But then the other half of me is like, technically Taylor Swift probably knew my name for a couple seconds, because they announced name of like who's going out there. It goes and to punt for Nebraska, Archie Wilson. I was like, technically Taylor Swift might know who I am. Probably not anymore, but for a couple seconds she did. So that's pretty cool.
You're giving her a little kiss up to the box. Hey, Taylor.
Yeah. I don't know if we're that close.
So you're not a Swiftie.
She was my third most played artist last year.
Okay, so you secretly are. So you know what? You're playing the cool guy game, but you're actually a Swiftie at heart. Okay.
No, all right, cool guy. I like I like some of the songs. I like some of the songs, but I definitely wouldn't say I'm a Swiftie. She has some good songs and I'll listen to them every now and then.
Oh, is that right? And the next minute you'll be walking out to one of her songs as your walkout song.
I don't know about that.
We're going to step away for a short break, but we'll be back very soon. Our next segment is the Sports Roundtable. Now, it's an opportunity to delve a little bit deeper into the madness of gridiron, but then also, you know, branch out into some other sports as well, what's happening around the globe. But I want to talk a little bit more about the pathway of being Aussie, getting into American football. Obviously, you're a Melburnian, growing up around AFL your whole life, but to then make the switch and delve into a, you know, pathway like Pro Kick provides in Australia, was, you said this wasn't really a hard process for you, but if you were to recommend to any youngsters that are looking to, you know, go into this realm that you're in now, what would be your suggestion and how would you, you know, put them onto something like that?
First, you kind of have to enjoy what you're doing. Like, Pro Kick and the journey to get over here is not, it's definitely not easy, but I think the reason that I didn't really find it that hard is because I enjoyed it so much. So if you, I mean, I was enjoying it. Like, it might have been physically difficult and a lot of work, but I think the fact I was enjoying it just made it a whole lot better. But I think, like, we playing footy, I mean, you grow up kicking. Like, we have the natural kicking swing and all that. So, like, it's very similar to punting. There's obviously a few differences because, like, you're kicking it, you know, off two steps a lot of the time if you're doing a spiral, or it's a slightly different shaped ball. But, like, it's really easy to learn but hard to master. So, like, it's very easy to get good, but it's really hard to get consistent with it because it's such a, the ball's a lot pointier. It goes wrong a lot easier. So I think that if you already know how to kick, like, you already know how to swing your leg, you've just got to, you know, trust and actually work hard on all the technique stuff. And then, like, I'll still go out there and I'll have plenty of kicks that are not very good. But I think if you just enjoy it and make sure that you're doing something you want to do, then you're going to be okay, because you're going to be willing to go work and get better at it every time. And, like, realize what you're actually getting yourself into is real. Like, it seems like it's this almost like fantasy type of world where it's like, hey, you go practice kicking a ball for a bit, and then eventually you're going to be moving across the other side of the world and playing in front of ridiculous crowds and training and being teammates with some of the best athletes there is. So I think you've actually got to, like, grasp what you're actually doing, because it didn't even feel real to me really until you get here and you start doing it in such a professional setting. So, yeah, it's, I mean, Pro Kick, I don't have one bad thing to say about Pro Kick. I think that they do the best job that anyone could do in making such a good transition and actually training you to become the best version of yourself with punting. So I think I would recommend, even if you're not 100% sure, go down to Pro Kick and just give it a crack and just see what you think. Because, I mean, I started off just with a cheap ball from Rebel Sport, just having a kick around, then now I'm playing over here on the other side of the world. So it can happen if you actually just put your mind to it and enjoy what you're doing.
Did you enjoy watching it growing up? Was it a sport that you've always been interested in, or was it just something you kind of, like, picked up and went, oh, I'll give this a crack?
I could watch most sports. Like, I enjoy watching sports. I would say I wouldn't say I watched it frequently, but I had a decent grasp of the game. But the last year and a half to 2 years, like, I watched as much as I could have. And that's like the misconception like my teammates had of me when I got over here. They were thinking like, he's never, he has no idea what the rules are. He doesn't know the game. It's like, guys, like I've, believe it or not, I did actually, you know, watch and learn the game that I'm going to be playing. Like, it's not.
Yeah, it's not just a fluke that I'm here. I haven't just like magically appeared from down under. And
now that I have like a vested interest in it, and as soon as I realized like, hey, this is actually something that you might do, I got really into the actual sport, even the stuff that had nothing to do with punting. So, and that made it a lot more exciting to me to kind of like know what I was getting into. And even on the sidelines at games and watching other drills at practice that don't involve me, like I still enjoy watching it. Like there's people who would pay to watch practices like this, and I get to be a part of them. And it's good that I actually understand what's going on. So I think I watched a fair bit of the sport before I came over here.
Now, this is a cricketing, you know, base podcast. I like to say it's the glue. We talk about all sports, but cricket's really the glue. It's been a big part of my life, and it's obviously it is my whole life now. So it's our glue. Were you a big cricket fan growing up? Surely.
I played cricket until early high school. I played it in the fifths team for my year 12 year. It was a bit of fun, but I actually wasn't bad. I enjoyed cricket. I always whenever my teammates like mention baseball or anything like that over here, I just say, yeah, but it's just not as good as cricket, is it? So
it's so true, hey. Like, baseball's great, right? But I don't understand the concept of why most balls are fouls. Like, you're sitting there in the crowd going, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for this ball. And then it's foul. You're like, oh, that's kind of a bit dead. At least with cricket,
this
is four. It's like there's always something happening. Even if there's just like a one run on, like, it's still entertaining.
Yeah. I was actually, believe it or not, at dinner today, about an hour and a half ago, I was chatting with one of the strength coaches about cricket. And they were like saying like they couldn't grasp the fact that a test cricket game goes for 5 days. And they were saying, like, is there a shorter version? I'm like, well, yeah, there is, but like it's five days of entertainment. So it's like it's a bad thing that it goes for that long.
It's strategic. You should be really like, if you were to sell cricket to an American to get them on board the bandwagon, what would your pitch be?
I feel like I should have done this already. I haven't pitched. Oh, wow. It is a hard one to sell because there is, on like face value, it does sound quite boring until you explain, like, to actually watch it. But I mean, the thing is, every ball matters. It's not like baseball where you can get a strike and it's like, oh well, you have another two, or you hit a, like, the sheer value of staying in but also having to make runs is, yeah, it's an awkward one to explain. Try to sell. I'd almost just have to put some highlights on. And I have actually played.
Yeah,
I've shown the Mitch Stark to James Vince ball where he hits the crack in the pitch to a couple of my teammates and try to stress them how nice this is, and they just have absolutely no interest whatsoever. But
there's MLC now, the American Cricket League, and I feel like you could get them a few boys along to the game and go, nah, you got to watch T20. I think T20 is the most approachable format for newbies, I would say, because there's always something going on. You can guarantee that there's going to be several sixes in a game, at least boundaries. It's just there's always something going on. So I feel like if you were going to entice someone, you'd be taking them to T20 over Test first, and then I think you'd start bringing them in to maybe a Boxing Day Test. I think that would be the one. If you were going to take anyone to a first Test match game, it should be Boxing Day Test.
Yeah, it would have to be because yeah, I feel like if I just put them into like a random test match and it's just early stages where no one's made a run in three overs and they're just sitting there leaving everything or blocking it, I feel like they'd just sit there. They'd be like, what the hell are we watching here? And it's, but I think the T20, you are right. There's There's more highlights. There's wickets more often. There's more runs. So I feel like if I got them to one of those, they might have a chance at liking it.
100%. Well, there's crickets in America so much, so you'll have to bring them along to a game, entice them in your busy schedule.
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan.
All right, it's time for a word from our sponsors. We'll be back very soon. I want to play a little bit of a game. We've kind of got through all the nitty-gritty. Now it's time to have a bit of fun. This is called Red Light, Green Light. Now, red light is you're going to say no, don't agree with what you're saying here, Grace. You're well off the mark. And green light is, I agree. You know what? I like that. But you've got to explain why. We can't just be like, red light and move on, all right? You've got to give me a little bit more.
All right.
Got it.
I'm ready.
I don't think you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. American football is harder to learn than AFL.
Green light. American football, there's so many really intricate rules. And because, like, AFL, it's a big open field. And because it's so free-flowing, I feel like once you grasp the simple things of, like, holding the ball, a mark, a goal, and like a ball up. It's actually quite simple. But American football, there's so many intricate things and like how a penalty moves the ball back a certain amount or where the ball starts at every play and the positions and who's allowed to catch the ball, who's not. Like different numbers are allowed to do different things. There's certain formations that are illegal. It's like, whereas footy, other than 666, people can run everywhere. Everyone does everything. Yeah, it's kind of, it looks a lot messier, but it's a whole lot more simple than American football because the detail in every play and every person has such a specific task to do. It's definitely more complicated than footy.
So more strategic, you'd say?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like every player, pretty much every play knows exactly where they have to run, who they have to mark. Whereas like footy, you could run around for 15 minutes in circles and be doing the correct thing. It's much more free-flowing where it's kind of like you can play a fair bit off instinct. Whereas there is that in American football, but there's still like – there's not as much flexibility as with what you're doing.
All right. Kickers and punters deserve more respect.
I'd say green light. And I'm going to do this mainly for my kickers. And I'm going to throw in long snappers as well because they're the ones that start every play. I mean, a kicker, they get all of the blame when they get all the blame when they miss it, when they miss a game winner. And then when they make just a normal kick, it's just like, oh yeah, that's his job. Like they put points on the board and
yeah, like he's done
they
it.
Like they are like really important. I mean, when we go down, if we score a touchdown, the kicker misses the extra point, it's like not even worth the full amount that you kind of need. Like the other team will just score a touchdown and get theirs and then we're losing. Like it's such an important job that I think just gets overlooked as like, oh, okay, here's our kicker. He's just going to make it. It's fine. Punters.
But then if he doesn't make it.
Yeah. I feel like they get hated on when they stuff up, but they don't get appreciated as much when they're good. Punters.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. And then punters.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a little bit, but it's like when we do our job, a lot of our job comes down to like, yeah, we got to kick the ball, but our players on the line have to run down there and get to the returner so he doesn't run back. So it's like, it's a lot more of like a team effort. So I think the punters get a good amount of credit. Like obviously maybe a little bit less and it's tough because I've kind of in the situation where I'm probably getting way too much. So I can't really say that I don't get what I deserve. But I think that kickers and also long snappers who snap it to the punter and snap it to the hold for the kick probably deserve a bit more, because it's just like expected that they're automatic, yet they're not praised enough when they get their job done correctly.
All right. College football is more enjoyable to watch than NFL.
Green light.
What? Okay, give me why.
Well, each crowd, there's more tradition, there's more pure passion for your school. It's not, there's less like, oh, well, here is my job. It's like, you have such a connection to like your school. You have a lot more passion than just this organization that might be paying you enough money. And the each school is, the difference between school to school is a lot more unique than the difference between like an NFL program to another NFL team. It's like, there's a lot more, you can kind of be, you can be more yourself instead of just be an organization. And also because the games probably aren't at just as much of a skill. Like they're very good, but they're slightly less. There's more, you know, fun, interesting things that happen. So it's like the perfect blend of like, I'd say the environments and the crowds are definitely better. And just the fact that each game feels like it has more meaning to it, because there's actually a sense of like, I'm playing because I want my school and my team to win, is where like, I feel like some NFL teams, it's like, I got to play good here so I can keep a job.
Yeah, sure. I know what you mean. I guess outside of looking in, it's more that legacy piece for people. Like everyone's invested. Like it's such a generational thing with schools that people want their legacy of their school to go through and win.
Yeah. And because there's more people who actually like a vested interest and actually go to the school, actually they have a real reason to follow the team. So, I mean, I love watching NFL. I'm going to give the slight edge to college football.
Okay. Celebrations should never be penalized.
Red light. Now.
Really? Oh my gosh, that's big. Because I would say no, because like do it for the plot. Like I would say they're green light. It should never be penalized because it's so entertaining. Like it's messed up some of the people's in all sports celebrations, but I just think it's entertaining. It adds a little bit of value.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to go like red light because of like inappropriate celebrations like taunting. I'm going to go like sometimes there's just time waste. The time is annoying. It's pointless.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like over celebrating when it's not necessary is kind of like, what are we doing here? Can we just get the game started?
Okay, but we get it.
It's like, yeah, we get it. When there's a celebration just out of pure like adrenaline and excitement, then it's like, that's awesome. But like the unnecessary celebrations where it's like really choreographed and like just taking too long, I feel like there's got to be like a time warning.
Yeah, so not for like the actual, you probably practiced.
But like if I were to celebrate,
okay, that's good.
I feel like I just get like excited and just start jumping or something. Like I couldn't think of like,
yeah,
real, yeah. I think it's a red light of like time wasting for the game when it's unnecessary, but a green light to do whatever the hell you want.
All right, a first day, Ashes Boxing Day test at the MCG is better than an AFL grand final.
Red light.
Do you know what podcast you're on?
I know that this is a cricket podcast, I know, but hear me out. Boxing, like the AFL grand final, like the whole season comes down to that one game. Whereas Boxing Day, yeah, it's a cool environment. It's going all day and everyone's kind of doing whatever they want. But like that one day is in the scheme of the series, like if it's a 5-test series, right? That one day might not actually have that much of an impact on the game. So I think the pure stakes of an AFL game, I feel like that just gets it over the line.
All right, last one. Australian coffee is better than American coffee.
Green light. This is where you're really going to let me offside.
Good. We can be friends now.
I'm not even like a coffee drinker. Like I have, I've had it before. But
how are you actually from Melbourne and you're not a coffee drinker? That's illegal.
Firstly, it's really expensive, but like I enjoy an iced coffee. Like but it actually pisses me off here. Like the state of the coffees that they have. Like they don't even put milk in them. They put creamer. Yeah. It's like
flavored coffee.
Like I had a business class today, and the teacher was talking about like her Starbucks and how she's like, I used to go to Starbucks and I would get the caramel de leche brulee with whipped cream and then Oreo crumble and then an extra shot of vanilla. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, just have coffee, some milk. And then if you want, maybe add some sugar. Like, but yeah, like I'll walk into like this, like in the supermarkets, and even you just see like the bottled stuff. Like in Australia, there's some like nice like iced coffee brands, and I'm not talking like Dare or Ice Break. Like there's some actual nice, ball ones. And you go here, and everything is just like vanilla, caramel, swirl, whipped cream. It's like it actually annoys me. And they act like it's real coffee, and I'm like, that's not good. That's bad.
No, you're just drinking sugar, my friends.
Like, they can't fathom that that's not actually normal.
We're going to take one more quick break, but we'll be back for the final whistle. Right, we're going to move into our final segment. It's called The Final Whistle. It's a couple of rapid-fire questions just to wrap up the episode. So, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I saw this quote on Instagram and I thought it was pretty good for the like current moment. It was, if you want to conduct the orchestra, you need to turn your back to the crowd.
Okay, that's deep.
I thought it was pretty fun.
Very relevant for you right now.
Yeah.
Your feed's really reading your mind right now.
Hmm.
All right. What is a guilty pleasure that you refuse to feel guilty about?
I don't know. I like walking. But I like
walking too much. That's a guilty pleasure.
Well, it's, like we have scooters and all that to go to the facility like every morning, and I like walking and just walking every morning regardless of the weather or anything. I enjoy walking in the rain. There we go. Like my teammates, I've had teammates drive past me and be like, do you want to lift? And they feel bad for not picking up. It's like, no, I like walking in the rain. There we go. There's probably like 50 better answers that I could have had in my head, but nothing's coming to me right now.
Oh my gosh, that is such a good answer. I love it. I love it. That's so funny. You're just having a little star moment. It's like you're in a movie.
Yeah. I like
the main character walking in the rain.
Putting the AirPod in, just feeling like the main character walking in the rain.
That is so good. Well, don't get electrocuted with your AirPod in the rain. That would not be good.
No, I'll be okay. I'll be okay.
All right. What's one food that you miss most about home?
I could go fish and chips.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Are you a crumbed or a beer-battered guy?
Battered. A battered flake, chicken salt and the chips and some potato cakes. Oh, I could go that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chicken salt chips. Oh.
Yeah.
Good pick. I like it. Give me your most used emoji. Mine's this one. You know the little hands with the little heart? I love that one.
At the moment, I use the straight faced emoji a fair bit, or the rose that's like dying. Have you seen the one that's like the rose like
Why
wilting
do you
over?
Use that?
I don't know. I just.
Are you doing it okay?
I just.
Do you want to talk about
it? No, I'm doing fine. It's like I don't know. I see it on like, you put it after like a dumb sentence, sort of. It's just, it's hard to explain. I don't really know the meaning behind it, but I'd say the straight-faced emoji where he's just like, is probably my most used one.
Okay, if you were to be described by your friends in three words, this is your last question, by the way, what would they say about you?
Definitely unique. That's one. See, I want to say like weird, but like weird in a way where he just kind of like does what, he doesn't care what other people think as much. Not like I just do like legitimate weird things. So I want to take that with a grain of salt. And energetic. I don't stop talking. I don't stop moving around. I'm all over the shop.
I can tell.
I'd say, yeah. I'd say those three.
Don't worry, I'm a bit like that too. You can't stop me from talking. I think I could talk underwater sometimes.
Well, I don't think you could start a podcast if you weren't good at it. We're both the same.
No, that's true. That is very true. All right, well, thank you so much. It's been so nice to get to know you a little bit better. I've really loved having you on the podcast, Archie. Good luck with everything. You're absolutely killing it as it is, but I'm excited to see your journey unfold. Thank you again for joining, and I'm sure I will get to see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, great meeting you. Enjoyed it.
Well, that's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. If you loved this conversation, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button. And tell your friends all about the episodes, because there are so many more to come with legendary guests having hilarious debates. Our big stories are coming up, so stay tuned. We don't want you to go anywhere. I'm Grace Hayden, and until next time, keep competitive.